2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Yahweh filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house because the glory of Yahweh filled Yahweh's house. All the children of Israel looked on when the fire came down and the glory of Yahweh was on the house, and they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to Yahweh, saying, "For he is good, for his grace endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before Yahweh. Well, to start with, God had told David he didn't want a temple and that he lives in the hearts of people. And he says, "Don't you build me a house, I will build you a house," in the sense of a family of people who will become my eternal kingdom. Yet David and Solomon insisted on going this way. And okay, God did accept it, and his glory came down. Although when his glory entered the house, the priests couldn't enter into the temple. They couldn't do their work because the glory of God filled the house. So I think that shows how God will go with you in the path that you choose to take, even if it's not the ideal path. Even if the path you take is actually going to make it more difficult for you to get to his kingdom. Like Israel wanted a king and God said, "Well, I'm your king. Now we want a king." Okay, God actually gave them a king. He allowed them to go that way. The father of the prodigal son gives the son what he asks for. And although God will not leave us, it is true to say that if you keep on taking the path that is not the one that he wants you to take, you will make your path to the kingdom very difficult, so difficult that you may not make it. And the temple, eventually God destroyed the temple. It became really a snare to Israel. They thought that if they had the temple, they were okay, rather than giving their hearts to God. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep. Wow. The amount of blood that was pouring there would have been huge. And the smell of all those burning animals would have been pretty awful, I would have said. And so God didn't want that. But again, right, he accepted it. The fire had come down and burned up the sacrifices. Yeah, he accepted it, but it was not really what he wanted. David learnt that when he sinned with Solomon's mother, Bathsheba. That God does not want sacrifice. He wants a humble and a broken, contrite heart. That's what he wants, not thousands of sacrifices. Micah came to realize this when he says that, "What shall I bring before the Lord? Does he want rivers of blood and rivers of oil and sacrifices?" No. But to this man will God look, to him who is humble and who walks humbly with his God and loves mercy and loves justice. Now, the problem is that it's easier, actually, to offer sacrifices than it is to be humble and to walk humbly with your God. Solomon had not had the humbling experiences that his father David had had. And also, he didn't have the humility of David. He didn't recognize his sins. You never hear of Solomon repenting of anything. He just goes on in his life assuming that, "You know, I am David's son." He keeps talking about my father, David, David, my father. Hundreds of times it's recorded he uses that phrase. And it's all too bad, really, because he didn't have that humility. And he thought that God would be pleased with, you know, 120,000 sheep and 22,000 cattle. Well, no, not really, but God accepted it. And that's my point, that God will accept our less than ideal way of serving him, but that doesn't mean that you can just do what you want and treat him how you want. You have to think of God killing Uzzah when they didn't bring the ark to Zion as they should have done and didn't carry it on the shoulders of the Levites, but instead put it on a wagon. You can't just do what you want, but it is true to say also that God will try as far as possible to walk with you, even if you choose the less ideal path. So the priests stood up and the Levites with the instruments of music which David the king had made to give thanks to Yahweh. For his grace endures forever. Moreover, Solomon made the middle of the court holy that was before the house of Yahweh, for there he offered the burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offering and the meal offering and the fat. Solomon held the feast at that time 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart for the grace that Yahweh had shown to David, Solomon, and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of Yahweh and the king's house. He successfully completed all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of Yahweh and in his own house. Well, I think that's again a little hint that all these grandiose plans for the temple was what came into Solomon's heart. This was not really the will of God. As I say, God works through people. Yahweh appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send plague, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Well, Solomon had earlier said in his prayer that if they sin, or if they have a plague or something like that, if they pray towards this temple, then God please hear them. And God seems to respond to that by saying, nah, if they're humble, whenever they are, and they pray, I'll hear them. So he wants them to be humble. See, God says here, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear. Well, Solomon says, well, if you just pray towards the temple, that'll be good. You'll be fine. That's the trouble, that religious structure takes away from humility. People think, well, I don't have to be humble. I don't have to have a personal relationship with God. I can just go to this temple or whatever and I'll be okay. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears sensitive to the prayer that is made in this place. So God says, yeah, okay, it's true. If you pray in this temple, I will hear you. But he's just said, yeah, but I'll hear you wherever you are. And the important thing is to be humble. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and keep my laws, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I promised with David your father. So Solomon was rather assuming that the promises to David about his son were definitely fulfilled in him, in Solomon. And God's telling Solomon, well, no, it's all conditional. You've got to be obedient. And we can just grab hold of the promises of the kingdom and think, oh yeah, that's all true for me. Yeah, that's great. Without any sense of the future we may miss, that we may mess up, that I am human and I am likely to sin and I am likely to do what so many foolish people have done and throw away this wonderful hope of the kingdom. So we must always have that appropriate humility and that sense that I may fail. And he says, if you turn away and forsake my laws and go and serve other gods, well, that's what Solomon did. When he was old, we're told, his heart was turned aside by his Gentile wives, and he served other gods. God says, if you do this, then I will pluck Israel up by the roots out of my land, and this house I will cast out of my sight. This house which is so high, everyone who passes by it shall be astonished and shall say, why has Yahweh done thus to this land and to this house? They shall answer, because they abandoned Yahweh, God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and took other gods, worshipped them, and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this evil on them. Well, that's exactly what happened. Solomon did turn away from Yahweh to the idols. We are told that specifically in 1 Kings 11. So, we conclude then that all this grandiose building of the temple was not of any lasting value because Solomon was not paying attention to his own heart. God here is trying to correct him by all means and to help the people see that it's a case of having a humble heart, not of having built a grandiose temple and praying to God in that temple or toward it.